Know.com. Clarity about reality.
ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة أما بعد. الله سبحانه وتعالى has given us life, alhamdulillah, for another week. And one of the things that he has given us, besides the institution of marriage, is the institution, if marriage fails, he has given us the option of divorce. I wanted to mention to you the importance of divorce. And I know that to use that expression is something that is new in English among Muslims, but I'm using it on purpose and with muscular and vigorous intent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has said in Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, 229, At-talaqu marratan. Talaq has two times. And then after, فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. You are either to be in a situation in which you stay with your wives in righteousness, or you dissolve the marriage amicably. This particular ayah is an indication that if in the institution of marriage, the marriage is in such trouble in which it can no longer be sustained, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed divorce to take place. Divorce is, out of all the things that Allah has permitted, the most disliked to Him. For the basic institution of human life, since the first human beings stepped down here from the paradise, was the institution of marriage and companionship and having children. And that structure is only present and truly delivered in its proper form when in marriage. Outside of that, there is no true structure. And the children that we are seeing running around like urchins and doing other things are a result of the destruction of the institution of marriage. Now, in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Sahih al-Jami'a, a woman came to him with various bruises and wounds on her face, and he granted a divorce. This shows us that in the case of violence being used to a degree where someone has been physically harmed, then divorce is permitted. It is also mentioned that in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a woman came to him and said that my husband is a good man, but he is only able to do for me what this string does on my cloth. And she held the string and it went limp, meaning that he's not able to sustain an erection. He cannot have sexual intercourse with his wife. And on the basis of that objection, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam granted divorce. There are other examples of where, when the institution of marriage, actually maintaining it and keeping a particular two people together, would actually be dangerous, where the rules of Allah could be violated, Allah has allowed divorce. Because more importantly, before anything else, before your clan, before your family name, before producing that grandchild hot from the oven that everyone's waiting for, Before any of those things, marriage is an aqad. It is a covenant in front of Allah. You are going in front of Allah and saying, I am the maintainer of this woman. And I am to look after this woman, and she is my helpmate and my guide. The woman is saying, this husband is the leader in the household, and I will obey him. I will follow his instructions. And his rank is higher than my father's. Because of the hadith in Sahih al-Jami'ah, in which it's mentioned, that had I commanded any human being to bow down to another, it would have been the wife to her husband. There's no such hadith that commands any such thing regarding the daughter to her father. The husband's rank is higher than the father's. This is important, because this cannot be denied. The woman's father dies, 3 days mourning maximum. The woman's husband dies, 4 months, 10 days. Understand? Because it's important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you the difference between the rank of the father, the rank of the husband. It's two different things. They both deserve their respect, but in their perspective ways. Now, have there been abuses? We don't deny that. But we're talking about principles here. Now, in certain places where divorce has not been allowed, and a form of Islamic Hinduism, to coin the term, it's probably a neologism, has been allowed. By not allowing divorce in cases where it is justified, it has created anomalies. What have these anomalies been? Because 9 times out of 10, it's women that are asking for this. It has created anomalies where the Muslim women are suffering from mental disorders, highest rate of schizophrenia, paranoid schizophrenia, and multiple personality disorder is reported in Bradford. Two Muslim brothers that are doctors that deal with psychological problems say everything about the Asian culture is eating those women alive. Not everything about Islam. Everything about the way that things are being done in that culture is eating those women alive. And it is undermining, eroding, and corrosively melting those marriages. The women seek a way out, which would be divorce. And they say, I don't want to do any wrong, but I must get out. And they say, no, just stay in. You've got kids, just stay in. What will the neighbors say? What will our family think? What will this happen? I promised you 22 years ago to that family. We can't let go now. Now, that has produced another reaction. Younger children growing up that have that woman as their mother, they say what? If that's what marriage is, I don't want to get married. Because it undermines marriage in their heart. So what happens? Let's say they meet someone that they care about. They engage in the trading of salivas and bodily fluids, but there's no covenant in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the seed was planted that you don't get married until you're old and can't do anything about it, just like Hajj. You get married, have kids, reproduce 4 times, go on Hajj, then die. Because they thought that we need to put this off. It's produced a reaction. It's produced a reaction in which violence against the women has increased. Because people are in a marriage they don't want to be in and they can't get out of it. It has produced a situation that was brought to my attention not long ago in a case in which the husband and wife said, listen, our parents are happy that we're married. Then let them be happy. You and I, as far as we're concerned, this marriage is an open relationship. I'll reproduce twice, and then after that, we go our separate ways. We live in the same house, everything else, but we live separate lives. She's having boyfriends, he's having girlfriends, they're just living the separate life, but the nikahnama's been handed out, there are 2 children, they look like both of them, and everything is good and gravy. By not allowing divorce, you create these despicable anomalies and it harms people, and it harms their iman. People that were normally strong in Islam, by not allowing them this, the oppression of a marriage that is clearly untenable harms them. It may lead to them seeking affection, love, and support in someone else's arms. And when that happens, the children will then be affected by that as well. And we can only look, we can do our research and see what is going on. Now, someone may say, why discuss this? There's no point airing all this dirty laundry and in front of the people, and it's not a good idea. There's no point discussing airing dirty laundry when it's on the line in front of everyone. The highest levels, as I've said, of multiple personality, schizophrenia, and paranoid schizophrenia, these are in medical journals in this country that you can go and research in the library. The issues that I mentioned last time of consanguinity in the South Asian community, issues of incest and rape between the father and daughter, these are things that are written in medical journals. It's not a matter of anything hidden. It's now there. My job speaking to you today is to say, well then, what can we do? How can we arrest this? Because we are seeing a large amount of Muslim women that are praying, fasting, doing all these other things. They have children in many instances, but the men are not of the same standard. In most cases, the deen is top heavy on the female side. That's just most cases. And because of that, the women seek to break free from a husband that will not pray, does not pray, cannot be bothered to pray, or they have nothing in common with them because they've been brought together because of some enforced custom or practice and they want nothing to do with each other. This is the harbinger of the destruction of everything that's been built here so far. Whatever structure there is, whether we criticize it or you don't, whatever structure that's here, by allowing this in place, there is the potential, by allowing this to stay as it is, that it will destroy everything that's been built. Because without a family, you have no society. And without a society, you have no civilization. That's what these people are finding out here, as everything is eroding and unraveling and falling apart. In the next 2 years, the population in California will be more Latino than white American. Why? Because they have a family structure. Being a white man is becoming a thing of the past. It's going away. Why? Because of no family structure. Nothing. So I want us to think about the realities of the destruction of family and all of what's been built. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك انه غفور رحيم ارحم الراحمين. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد. Allah says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ, so if you should fear, أَلَّا يَقُومَا, that the two of them shall not be able to establish حُدُودَ اللَّهِ, the rights of Allah in their marriage and His boundaries. فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا, there's no harm upon them. فِيمَ افْتَدَتْ بِهِ, if they find a settlement and in the marriage. So, if they fear transgressing the boundaries of Allah, what are the boundaries of Allah? Halal and haram. Halal and haram. Whether your cousins like it is not a matter of halal and haram. Whether the local clan likes it, whether whatever the situation is, it's got nothing to do with revealed law. That doesn't matter. Because there is a such thing as the importance of divorce. divorce in certain instances must come to pass, because what is the most important thing in the revealed law? The preservation of Allah's revealed law. So you thought you were going to say the individual. This isn't the Bill of Rights. This isn't the 1787 Settlement Act. This isn't the Magna Carta. The most important thing to be preserved is what? It's the structure of the revealed law and Allah's discipline, and then the family and civilization and such. So, in times where the danger is the rights of Allah will be transgressed, people will go in unto haram. If they stay married, they're going to commit adultery. Then what happens? Then in that case, you must allow divorce. Now, the question will then be, or the statement will then be, but Brother Abu Ja'far, if we do that, there are going to be a slew of women coming forward demanding divorces. Our response is yes. Yes. I believe that before it settles out and the pendulum swings back the other way, because the pendulum is being held on the side of not allowing these divorces, I think before the pendulum settles back in the middle, it will swing over to the other side, where divorce will be 70%. Because so many marriages were either unwanted or forced, or they're lousy, or their foundations are garbage, or they didn't look at marriage as an uqda, as a sacrament. They saw it as just something that, this is what we do, I need to reproduce, got to get married to do it. And so because of that, they didn't take it seriously, that they're doing something in front of Allah. This is why the Khutbatul Hajjah, the opening khutbah of marriage, the first three ayat mention marriage, but also the structure of civilization. You who believe, fear Allah as His right to be feared, and do not die except as Muslims. It's the first ayah that's recited in the khutbah on marriage. You who believe, fear Allah and speak clear words, and fear Allah, who is the one that gave you help, and look after the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a watcher over you, and He created the man and the woman, and spread out from them many human beings throughout the world. This ayah. Another ayah, O humanity, fear Allah, who is your Lord, who created from the mate its spouse, and spread out many women, many men and women throughout the earth, and look after the wombs that bore you, and keep family ties. That is what the marriage, the structure is about. So, in closing all this off, this is what I want to say. As the examples I mentioned from the verse and the ahadith that I mentioned before, divorce is allowed in Islam. It's not only allowed, but in certain instances Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you're afraid that they won't be able to keep the boundaries of Allah, then there's no harm at all to dissolve it. This current way of looking at things regarding divorce, this current idea in which under no circumstances should it be allowed, no matter what, this must change. We have to start to really examine and look and understand that if the marriage is damaged from the start, if it is completely without foundation, or if it's harmful, or if it's a situation where there has been adultery, and the wife says, I'm not staying in a marriage where my husband has committed adultery, we have no reasonable revealed law right to force them to stay in the same situation. You ask yourself this question. In marriages that have been for 15 years where the woman has tried to gain her freedom and has been beaten in front of the children, bloody, knocked down, kicked while on the floor in front of the children, in front of company, what else would you advise to be done? Or are we supporters of the doctrine that the woman only leaves the house twice, when she leaves the house to get married and when she's carried out in her kefin? Surely we don't advocate such a doctrine. So then we have to give a way out. And the way out in certain extreme circumstances is divorce. We must allow it. The Prophet ﷺ allowed it.
And it sounds like a very strange thing what I'm about to say, but it is true. By allowing divorce in circumstances where it is needed and necessary, you preserve the institution of marriage. Why do I say that? Because if you preserve the institution of marriage and you say, marriages that are so cancerous, so corrosive, they must be ended for the safety of Allah's deen and all those involved. You put into people's hearts the understanding that marriage is something sacred and it is a trust. But by holding on to it, by forcing it, when people have justified reason to ask for divorce and still forcing them, you say that marriage, this is something that you do, and once you're in, you don't get out. When you're in the Gambinos, you don't get out. When you're in the Sopranos, once you're in, you never get out. This is not the mafia. There are ways out, but they have to be structured. I'll leave you with these final points then that I advise myself and advise you. Number one, before you get married to try to lessen the possibility of having to go through a divorce, look carefully at what the spouse is, who the spouse is, what the spouse is about. And sometimes that may involve you having discussions with your parents that you wouldn't normally have. If you need to put it across to your parents and say, he or she's kind of homely. I can't be with somebody that's homely. Homely, ugly. I'm sure they're a good Muslim, they pray, but they're ugly. And Allah's blessed them. He's created the ugly just as He created the righteous. He created the stupid just as He created the intelligent. And Allah loves the stupid one just like He loves the intelligent one. But he's stupid. And Allah has created stupid people. Allah has created deformed people. Allah has created ugly people. Allah has created beautiful people. Allah has created plain, homely, down-home, Oklahoma-looking people. And they're ugly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created enamoring, beautiful, alluring people. And they are. So you have to decide what it is that you want. And have these discussions. Will they be hard? Might they be embarrassing? They might be. But that few moments of embarrassment, is that better than 15 years of hardship? You make the decision. Secondly, is you must understand when you're in the running, because currently those who are not married are officially on the market. Those who are married are now off market. You are offline. You are off limits. You have been purchased. Those who are still waiting and their price tag is dangling from their ear or their neck, those particular people, you need to do two things. You and a prospective spouse, you need to read Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, to know what the woman's rights are. And you need to read Surah Al-Ma'idah to know what your rights are. And she should do the same to understand. So when you come into the marriage, you know how to redress your rights. If you don't know this, you are getting inside of a Toyota Celica, having not driven before, and putting the throttle on full blast. No one does this. People think. The third point is coming into a marriage when difficulties and arguments happen, you need to consider, is the argument, is the situation so severe that it is untenable? It can no longer, the marriage cannot be salvaged. If it cannot, then you need to take direct action. Number four, face your responsibilities. A Muslim brother, he's speaking to me about the situation. Oh, I can't stand the woman that I'm married with. It's too much. We don't see each other at all. We're divided. Okay, so what do you need to do then? Well, I want out of this marriage and everything else. Okay, then, so what is it then? So then you need to get out of the marriage. You need to sit down and have a discussion on when the first talaq will be delivered. Oh, I couldn't do that. My parents, they would kill me, everything else. Okay, so stay in the marriage and suffer and die. Well, no, because I'm not happy. Okay, so then what do you want to do? I'm not your guidance counselor. I can tell you what you need to have. What, do you want me to chew your food for you, to live your life for you? I can't do that for you. You have to do that. Be decisive in your decisions when this happens. When you get married, let your yes be a yes. If it doesn't happen, let your no be a no. But don't leave yourself in gray area, because it will come back and get you. Final point. When divorce does occur, do not slip into the, and resist the urge to slip into the petty dynasty days of our lives, tit for tat battle. At least don't let yourself slip into it. Don't let yourself become vindictive or, okay, I'm not going to let them see the kids, or I'm going to move and not let anyone get access to me or the numbers. Don't do that, especially if you have children. Because you are putting your children in a circumstance where they will be estranged from one or both of their parents. And then you have each parent brainwashing their children. You know, your dad's a bum, he's a jerk. And then the dad says, you know, your mother is a whore and a dog. And the children are left in a situation to where when they're with the mother, they have to pick sides and dad's a bum. But when they're with the dad, mom's a whore. No. Divorce is there because of the fact that the sacrament of marriage that was brought together cannot be maintained, and Allah's revealed law will be undermined. And He is more important than the both of them. So today is about the importance of divorce and emphasizing the institution of marriage. If you have taken nothing away today, take away Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, 229 onward, and know your rights in Surah Al-Ma'idah and Surah Al-Nisa. It will save you a life of heartache. Be wise and be intelligent and speak truthfully. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa rasulina Muhammad ibn Abdullah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam ajma'in arhamir rahimin. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه له النعمة والفضل والثناء والحسن الجميل لا إله إلا الله مخلصين له الدين ولو كره الكافرون لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد اللهم اغفر لنا المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات والمحسنين والمحسنات والمجاهدين ومناقبات الأحياء منهم والأموات. O Allah, we ask that You forgive us for our sins that we committed from the last Jummah all the way up until this Jummah, and that You wipe our accounting of bad deeds clean. O Allah, we ask that You replace our bad deeds with good deeds, and that we leave better Muslims than as we came than when we came today. O Allah, we ask that You protect and strengthen the institution of marriage in our own families. And O Allah, we ask that You protect us from unjustifiably asking for divorce in cases where it's not justified. And O Allah, we ask that in cases where it is justified, that You make it possible for others to escape the oppression and tribulation so that they do not transgress against Your law. O Allah, we ask that You protect us from the wickedness of individualism, and You give us the ability to work as a jama'ah and as a group for the betterment of everyone. O Allah, we ask that You protect us from libertine, false, bombastic, apostate ideas that lead us astray from the true path and will harm us in this life and the hereafter. O Allah, we ask that You protect us from the abomination of secularism, democracy, capitalism, communism, and all other abominations that You've set Your face against. And O Allah, we ask that You protect us from the wickedness of nationalism, racism, and all the other forms that undermine Your religion and bring Your wrath and curse. And O Allah, we ask that You make us among those who stand firm on this faith, fearing no one but You and You alone. O Allah, we ask that You remove cowardice and laziness from our hearts, and that You replace it with bravery and justice and righteousness. And O Allah, we ask that You bless this ummah wherever they may be throughout the world. And O Allah, we ask that You give us strength in these times of difficulty. And O Allah, in our times of weakness, we ask that You protect us from falling into temptation and sin. And O Allah, we ask that you cover our weaknesses and enhance our strong points. And O Allah, we ask that those who look to us as role models, that we don't lead them astray. And O Allah, we ask that those of us who are looking for role models, that we find righteous role models and that we are not led astray. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ورسولنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم أجمعين رحم الراحمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك إنه غفور رحيم رحم الراحمين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر وأقيموا الصلاة.
No. Clarity about reality. See more at know.com.